qualified professional mixed martial artist. So I made my professional debut when I was 19 years old, mm-hmm. currently 23. Mm-hmm. And I had like 6 amateur fights before that.
Yeah.
Had my first amateur when I was 17. Mm-hmm. So, and in between that, because I just finished military service actually.
Okay.
So during that period of time, I was competing in amateur kickboxing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess that's about it.
Okay, nice.
For martial art background, yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of got you into actually doing this to begin with? What made you think, yeah, I really want to like punch the shit out of people and, you know, take this professionally?
I mean, okay, growing up, always got into a little bit of fights, but it's nothing serious, you know. And
yeah.
Honestly, when I first stepped into the gym, I thought that Muay Thai and MMA are the same thing,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that UFC is basically MMA. Like yeah. I had zero idea.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I signed up for. I'm just going there and bringing things. Yeah. It was only after like one of my friends in the gym, he told me that MMA class is fun, so I decided to join.
Yeah.
It turned out really fun.
Yeah.
And so I've been consistent with the MMA,
mm-hmm.
and then it was one of the. How do I put it? It's actually when I first watched my coach mm-hmm. fought live.
Yeah.
That just inspired me, and after that day, I didn't look back.
Yeah.
I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna punch people as well. So, actually, before that, I was playing soccer.
Yeah.
For the national team of my Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like I said, also is a lot of times, even in my soccer days, I get into fights quite often. So.
Oh, really?
I mean, I guess it's a really natural progression, you know.
Yeah, it seems like it.
I'm much rather be fighting, yeah.
Yeah, because I saw that you were a national soccer player. Were you striker as well there?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. So what have you kind of noticed are like the differences between obviously MMA and football or soccer?
I say soccer's been so long, man.
Yeah.
Different in terms of mental, right?
Yeah.
Guess the fear factor would be more in MMA,
mm-hmm.
Makes logical sense.
Yeah.
But like soccer. Sorry, bro. I can't remember how I felt playing soccer.
Yeah, it's been a long time, hasn't it? Because it was. It would have been before you were 17 or 15 or so, wouldn't it?
I stopped when I was like 16, so.
Yeah, so it's been some time. Yeah, but it seems like you're loving MMA. As well, and
yep.
When have you fought recently at all? Because I was obviously looking through your records, and I think the last one was 2016, I think, from what I can
see. That's for professional
yeah,
MMA.
Yeah,
I've been playing around with like amateur kickboxing.
Okay.
My last one, if I'm not wrong, was right. This is might be in May.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how come you went from, obviously you're still doing pro MMA, but then how come you've gone into a bit more amateur kickboxing?
Okay, the thing I feel like is all about the experience and like I said, figuring out, you know. So I feel I can do everything to a decent level, but I want to like, and I feel that of all aspects of MMA, so the striking aspects, the wrestling and the grappling.
Yeah.
I feel it's hardest to get confidence in the striking one because okay. That's where you actually get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to put myself in as many of that situation as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing is, I also regretted going pro that soon in my career for MMA.
Oh, really?
I wish I stayed MMA a bit longer. Yep, okay. Correct.
Why? Is it because of the striking part of it or is there anything deeper than that?
So I did quite well for the amateur, but basically, I won every fight pretty comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I wanted to feel like be put in a bad situation where it doesn't really matter, you know.
Yeah.
So in amateur MMA, no one cares about a record. So I want to be like maybe stuck under a mound or something.
Yeah.
Getting smashed, yeah, to know that you can get through stuff. You rather find out in a situation where it doesn't really matter than mm-hmm. find out. On one of the big stages, you know,
yeah,
in
yeah.
MMA.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like you have that knowledge and you know kind of how to come back through that when you're against someone that's hard, but obviously if you're on the big stage and then shit hits the fan, you're just like, oh, I don't know how to deal with this kind of thing. Yeah, so yeah, that makes sense.
Getting confidence striking. I mean, personally, I feel it's not that easy, so I put myself through the process of getting as many as I can, you know?
Yeah, so. Makes sense. So when you were kind of like starting off, so when you went to obviously the Evolve facility, how did you find like mixing being a student and also being an athlete? Because obviously I know you have academy stress and deadlines to do and assignments, and also you have training like 5 to 7 days a week to try and like schedule that in. So how did you kind of balance being a student and being an athlete?
Something got to go, so I believe it's social life, a little bit of it.
Okay.
So usually like after school, you know, people like to hang around.
Mm-hmm.
Once the bell ring, I'm out.
straight out.
And not the best example, I actually skipped quite a lot of school.
Okay. So how?
Yeah, so yeah. Not a good example.
No. So how did that impact you in any way? Like, did you find that helped you out? As in the part of like not socializing as much, or did you feel like you had enough social opportunities when you're training?
Okay. Masha did help me expand my social circle as well, but like, if you think about it, it really comes down to your priorities, if I say that, because I do want to socialize, but it's like,
yeah,
I feel like it's not that I'm forced to train, but I'm kind of programmed to do it, you know. It's like,
yeah,
okay, if let's say I decided to stop training for a week or a month, no one's gonna say anything,
yeah,
nothing's gonna happen, it's all on me. But it's just you yourself, you want to do it, so
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So linking with that then, so what is your kind of like motivation now, as in your fighting career? Like, what do you want to kind of like get out of, literally get out of your fighting career?
Honestly, I really just enjoy the process of training. So I want to get as good as I can, like become the best version of myself. But if you want to put an achievement to it, I do want to be like a world champion.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think I remember a quote, I think, of you saying, I think taking it 3 years, so in 3 years time to, or I think 3 years after your military service to kind of get to that level as well. But I noticed that you also talk a lot about like being your best, like trying to continuously progress as well, which is obviously good because it helps you kind of stay motivated consistently as well. But have you found that really helpful for your mindset, or do you know where that kind of like started stemming from as well, like the being your best kind of mentality?
I guess it's really come down to my surrounding as well, and I have a very good coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way he put things is really, like, it's when the classes that I do in Evolve, it's not really like a competition. It's really, we are all there, people from different backgrounds, and we try to get help each other get better. You know, it's as good as they say. It's not like a competition where every day you try to prove you are the best there. Because what's the point of proving you are the best in a gym?
Yeah,
when you can show it and when it really matters, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then so I know you mentioned your coach as well, and so is the coach that you're talking about Coach Eddie, or is it the other one that
Eddie
is his name? Yeah because I've seen that I think he has like a good coaching philosophy from what I've seen, because I know he's kind of inspired you and you kind of like think of him like as a friend and a brother and so on. So what is it about him that kind of inspired you when you're first starting out, and also still now as well?
Honestly, like when we weren't that close, as like when I first started out, it's really the way he carried himself.
Okay.
When he was competing as an athlete as well.
Yeah.
And then now it's really his no bullshit approach to training. And when I say no bullshit, it's not like it's all about finding the truth. Mm-hmm. Truth in the sense that whatever works and whatever doesn't work, you know?
Yeah.
So he's very open to, you know, throughout my footballing career and stuff, or not even footballing, maybe even work or stuff like that, that you will encounter people that say something like, it's either my way or no way. There's only one way to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Eddie's term is like, he let you explore.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll show you another way to do it, but it's all up to the individuals. I would say the mentality plays a part and the personality plays a part on what he actually chooses to do in that particular situation.
Okay.
Because there's a place and time for everything. So in that sense, he let us freely express ourselves, which is at the end of the day what martial art is about, you know?
Yeah.
Express yourself. Bruce Lee said.
Yeah. Nice. And like, what did you notice like a shift in how you were mentally thinking or how you started approaching things after being introduced to Eddie and like and the Evolve team?
Shift. This one, honestly, if you ask from my own perspective, is a bit hard because it's, if you talk about shift, it's probably from someone else outside to see it, you know.
Yeah.
But if you talk my own perspective, it's really, I would say, shift in perspective. Really, of more like a seeing things on a wider perspective. I would say more like a you're not stuck on one thing or another. You know.
Yeah.
You're ready to explore many options.
Okay. Yeah.
That makes
sense. Yeah. It makes sense. And moving still from inspiration, obviously I know that like Dragon Ball Z is kind of like a big impact on you, enough for it to be Benedict Saiyan. But did that kind of like play a journey into you taking MMA or maybe your outlook on certain things as well?
It doesn't play a part in me taking out MMA, but it does play a part in, because I relate to it really well.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like okay, my favorite character is fucking Goku, obviously, strongest,
yeah,
best.
Yeah.
But I feel that we all relate best to Vegeta.
Yeah.
In the sense that there's always someone better, and because you know Goku is an anime, so he's like that perfect character.
Yeah.
But in Vegeta, there's jealousy, competitiveness, hatred.
Yeah.
Which I, as a human being, I feel it. I'm gonna admit it. I feel it. At some point in my life, I do feel it. But
yeah.
It just all comes around, you know, like it just feels something nice where you can relate to, you know,
yeah,
the story of Dragon Ball, how it's all about continuous self-improvement,
yeah,
putting greater challenges and becoming the best for Vegeta is becoming the best,
yeah,
for Goku is becoming the best he can be. So
exactly, yeah. And so once again, going back to less of your inspiration, so I know you used to kind of mimic WWE wrestling with your cousin and also do some like wushu performances as well during primary school, and with that as well, did that, so doing like these practices and like kind of mimicking certain like behaviors of like wrestlers, did that have any influence on like how you start seeing things too, or your mentality with that?
No, that was just young kids having fun.
Yeah. Which is kids.
Did not really have any impact. It literally was just young kids having fun, you know.
Yeah, it's good though. I mean, everyone kind of does that though at one point, really, with the wrestling too.
Yeah.
And so moving from there, like obviously being Singaporean and kind of you know, represent, feel like you represent your country when you're fighting, do you feel like any pressure as well that comes from doing that, as in, because I know Singapore wasn't huge on MMA in the early years, but then now it's starting to blow up a bit more. But do you kind of feel a pressure behind your back, or is it like something that you like having? Is it something you prefer not to have?
It's honestly not exactly pressure. Okay, when you fight, sorry,
right,
the lead up to it, when there's a little bit of media obligations and stuff, it does feel a little bit of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like you got all your friends and everything, but honestly, for personally my experience, when I step in, everything really disappears. There's no motivation, no nothing. It's just,
okay,
you're there just to solve a problem, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just high level and high stress problem solving, because at the end of the day, the other guy is trying to take your head off. But
mm-hmm.
if you talk about stress,
yeah,
I personally don't feel that way.
Okay, and do you ever come?
Yeah, I don't feel like. Yeah.
Do you ever feel like this pride as well from being able to compete and like represent Singapore when you're off, like after you're fighting? So not before, but then after you fight, do you ever like notice?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's once everything goes, that's once it's done, that's where the emotions come in, you know.
I see.
So you definitely feel like especially when you win mm-hmm. in front of your crowd, it's like, because pretty much I grew up here and I did I spent my whole life here, so
yeah,
the pride is definitely there, you know. And I believe the Singaporeans feel it as well.
Yeah,
to see like a homegrown someone homegrown here
mm-hmm.
winning on like a quite a big event. So yep.
Yeah, that sounds good. And so bringing it back now to your experiences with your mum, and I noticed that I think a week before your fight, you would go and see her and talk to her for a bit.
Yeah.
So what impact as well did you feel like your mum or the event that happened with your mum had on your life so far?
Okay, to be honest, when that thing happened, it was too fast to react or anything. It was just in shock, and I didn't really have a time to react or anything. I was just... It's like you lost your mom overnight, and mm-hmm. you kind of get on with it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And when I say like before the fights, like before my professional fights, I go to visit the grave and everything, is more like just to, okay, I'm an 80s, so I don't even know if there's like a spiritual world whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally there just to like, how do I put it? I just feel nice just to sit down and talk to a stone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest, I'll give some updates
mm-hmm.
and then just say I hope she's doing well and everything. But whether or not she actually, like I was saying, whether it gets true or not, I personally don't know. No one knows, but
yeah.
It just feels good to just say it, you know.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. But if you talk about it, it doesn't really play any, but it just gives me like a little bit of peace and maybe a small connection.
Yeah.
To like just give your mum an update, you know.
Yeah.
Although she's not there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when I saw it as well, I thought it was beautiful, because I think it shows like, because you know how people will be like, oh, athletes, that everything's great, their life's gonna be like perfect, there's nothing really horrendous that happens, you know, during their career. But then it's like showing how raw and how real things do happen. And the fact is that you still kind of, in your own way, like maybe try to connect with her in a way, or just kind of help you feel more at peace, being able to like just go out there, kind of talk to her for a bit. And I thought just the act of that is just, I don't know, it kind of got to me a bit. I started welling up a bit, because I could just imagine the kind of feelings that were there, and then like why you do it as well. But yeah, literally, I think it's a great thing to do. But then in my head, I thought maybe that had to do something with like helping you prepare for any fights as well. Just kind of more of a peaceful well-being kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Makes sense. And so now going to your fighting. So obviously in your first three pro fights, you're against a lot like experienced MMA fighters. So with that, did you have any certain way of mentally preparing for this fight or those fights that you had?
Okay, I'll walk through. So a lot of people ask me how I feel after my debut, because it was quite a big jump, you know, you make your debut in one championship.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, there was not really any nerves. Not the fear wasn't as big as people would think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised by personally how I felt.
Okay.
I am surprised by that.
Yeah.
I was literally like just warming up,
mm-hmm.
playing. I was enjoying every bit of fight week.
Yeah.
Because it was the first time you're getting like all this media and stuff, so I just enjoying the whole progress.
Yeah.
Before I know it, gloves out, time to fight. And yeah, the first one goes my way. The second one, it's a bit... So the second one, I almost had to pull out because I had like shingles like maybe 4 weeks before.
Yeah.
So I couldn't go to the gym for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, then that was actually the first pro fight that my coach Eddie cornered me.
Yeah.
Because the first one, both of us were fighting on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the second one, it was against... I was 1-0, I think it was like 9-2.
Yeah.
So on paper, it looks like the craziest thing, right?
Yeah.
But for some reason, when my coach said, try your best to stay in the fight, I will corner you.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was originally scheduled to fight on my second fight as well.
Yeah.
All right. So he got pulled out because he had some stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost got pulled out, but in the end, they let me continue to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So he, like Eddie said, stay in the fight, he will corner me. That, I feel super calm, and I guess it's really how much you trust your corner man, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Because fighting, at, you say it's alone inside, but the preparation leading up and also knowing that you can trust your corner, they make the right choice outside while you're fighting inside.
Yeah.
Definitely helps a lot.
Okay.
So I didn't feel any factor considering the fact that it's 9-2 or what. Mm-hmm. I went in, performed, and that's actually one of my best fights.
Yeah.
The fight I'm happiest with, actually.
Good. And so what is it about the corner man that kind of helps you out then? What do you, so this is me being a bit naive, but what does the corner man do, or what does the corner team kind of like do for you that helps you kind of feel more calm and confident and so on?
First is the relationship with them. It's the trust that's built over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And also they know you so well, so it's like sometimes you get corner man shouting stupid stuff like get up, take him down, or something like that. It's like,
yeah,
that anybody can do it. You know, my grandma could shout the same thing.
Yeah.
It has to do a lot with the corner man understanding the athletes, knowing how certain athletes react to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So my corner man knows basically how I react to certain things.
Yeah.
That, you know, some fighters, they need like motivation, maybe, like don't let your family down or something like that, where they gotta hype them out.
Yeah.
Some athletes need very technical advice. Some you need a mixture of both.
Yeah.
It really boils down to how the corner man. So, if you ask me, I think performance itself also has a lot to do with how you and your corner man connect.
Yeah.
And how he can bring out the best in you.
Okay. And so, from knowing you, obviously you know you better than anyone else, but what do you know that you need from your corner man then when you are fighting?
I need to be very sure about myself. So that I have to always tell myself and believe in myself.
Mm-hmm.
But my corner man will tell me stuff.
Yeah.
One example, let me see. Okay, how you warm up physically, that's another thing already.
Mm-hmm.
The physical warm up plays a part. But it's getting your focus also, I believe.
Okay.
So it should be about 70% of max focus, if I'm not wrong.
Okay. And how do they normally help you with that?
Because sometimes when you try too hard for something,
mm-hmm.
Okay, one example, okay, when you're trying too hard for something, let's say you try for knockout so much,
mm-hmm.
Your whole game will usually, first for me, my whole game will collapse.
Yeah.
Where I start to do anyhow, and so it's the corner man job to make you get back to your original state.
Okay.
Where you're flowing, but you're not sleeping, so you're not under aroused, you're not over aroused, you're like the optimal, you know.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Oh, sounds like a good relationship. It sounds like the corner man's actually really, really important in obviously not even just preparation, but even on the day and on the fight, that they're really important there.
Can you imagine fighting if you don't trust your corner man?
No, yeah, it sounds like you need it.
That's a little bit on the mental side, but that. So if you think about it, you go into a fight unsure about who's behind you.
Yeah.
Unsure if they are actually giving the right answers or right advices for you, you know.
Yeah.
So if you doubt your corner man, how would that lead for you in a fight?
Yeah, that's true. And do you normally get to choose your corner man as well, or is it more like they're picked out for you under the organization you're with?
No, you get to choose yourself.
Okay, so you have like a certain criteria now that you know, I want my corner man to be able to actually think about what I need, not what they need, or not shouting some silly obvious things to you.
Yep.
Yeah.
You have to trust them, and that trust doesn't happen overnight, it really builds over time.
Yeah, makes sense. And so, with the mental side of everything, of course, what mental skills do you think are really important for just an MMA athlete to begin with?
Mentors, self-assuring belief.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there are times where I'm doubting myself, I'm doubting my training.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so let's say I haven't grappled for a long time.
Yeah.
There are certain things that I forgot how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And technically I know it. It's just that because I don't believe that I know it, it just falls apart.
Okay.
I really think that you have to believe that you can do it.
Yeah.
Might sound cheesy or whatever, but belief is really a powerful thing, and fuck, your mindset is pretty much everything, and whether you can do it or you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can put like a very skilled fighter,
mm-hmm.
who doesn't believe in his own skill, he might get run over with a fighter half his skill, but who just believes that he's the best, you know?
Yeah. And so what do you do to kind of help with that self-belief then in yourself?
Physical preparation is definitely important. So like, I make sure I can do it. So I do it in a situation where there is resistance. So it's not like just dumb training, you know?
Yeah.
You put yourself in a situation where you go through it times and time. Mm-hmm. And also you just talk to yourself, reassure yourself.
Yeah.
That you can do it. You have the skills to beat anyone.
Yeah.
And also you visualization.
Okay, visualization is a...
I do visualize how I'm going to do it and stuff as well.
So when do you do it, like at a certain point? Do you normally do it like in between rounds? Do you do it before you're about to fight? Do you do it like weeks leading up to it?
Weeks leading up to it. It's not even sometimes to fight. Sometimes even if you are... I don't even have a fight. I do visualize doing certain things.
Okay.
Certain things in training, in fight.
Yeah.
Even if there's no fight, I think of myself fighting someone.
Yeah.
Just a blank, but I can see myself going through all the patterns from the worst position, working back up, and getting your hand raised at the end, you know? Yeah. So it's a lot of... I don't think I mastered the art of visualizing, because sometimes I get lost halfway.
Yeah.
But I just keep trying, you know, keep playing around.
Yeah. I mean, it's normal as well for the kind of the head just to go visualize, then go on something else. But I think what I like about what you just said is the fact that you can use this like rehearse certain skills, you can use it to help kind of manipulate your emotions, like that confidence in yourself too, and like using it during training and competition is also good as well. So I think obviously the fact that you're using it is a great thing anyway, and it's such a good tool to have as well. So, and something that I always tell like any of my athletes, I'm like, start learning how to be able to like visualize things, what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to learn, etc, because it can really help you out as well. Yeah, that's something good to hear from you as well. So now going to
since you're a sports coach, I want to know, like,
okay,
what's your thoughts on athletes are faking belief or faking confidence?
It's a bit straight. I think me personally, what I think is it kind of depends what the belief is for. So sometimes you have athletes that will fake their beliefs, and then it leads to them being a bit overconfident maybe. But it's, you know, like that fake until you make it like mentality. I think that if you don't believe what you're saying in your head, then it's not going to really impact you, because it's that belief within what you're saying. If you don't believe what you're saying in your head, and then when you do fight and then you get punched square in the face, and then it's like, oh shit, I wasn't expecting this, and that will lead everything a bit lower. I'm more of an advocate of saying actually start practicing techniques that will help you. So with the self-talk or with the imagery or stuff, or goal setting, being able to actually see your progression and see, oh, I've achieved this and this, so this is why I should rationally think I'm able to perform well, is better than just being like, yeah, I'm the greatest, best ever, you know, no one can punch me, blah blah, because I think that will lead to either you being too cocky, not being maybe nervous enough, or just basically underperforming from that, which is so that's kind of like my outlook on that bit. But
because I around me, I do see some people like they just talk up.
Yeah.
Like, not even around me, like on social media, like people say a lot of stuff, but I really do believe that you have to believe what you say.
Yeah.
You can lie to the whole world, you can't lie to yourself, so.
Exactly.
That, and like you say, it will backfire when the real things happen, you know?
Yeah. It kind of makes you a bit more vulnerable as well, though, at one point, because you're trying to think like you're this great, but it's irrational because you don't have any evidence behind it at one point. And then when it doesn't happen your way, then it kind of leads to like really intense like negative emotions that's there as well, because it's not rational. You start getting like emotionally invested in a wrong way, and then that opens up a can of worms that you didn't want to open to begin with too. But so with I also noticed as well, I think Angela Lee, who you saw kind of like, I think she was the youngest champion. Oh, I think it may be for one championships, but I know she was the youngest champion for some fight. But then you saying like she's an inspiration to you and someone that you look up to at the time. I think This was some time ago. I think it was like 3 or 2 years ago or so. Unless my information is wrong.
I don't recall saying that, bro.
No. Right. Because I think I was looking, obviously, when I was doing like my background searches, mentioned about Angela Lee. If there's any Angela Lee that you know of at all.
I mean, I know Angela Lee.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think like I said like she's my inspiration or anything.
Oh, okay. So it's a bit off.
Yeah.
Okay. But is there like certain behaviors that kind of help you feel inspired to begin with? Just from anyone, like role models or coaches that help you?
Okay, I wouldn't say role models or what, but two person that about their mental game that I'm really curious about is Conor McGregor and Demetrius Johnson.
Okay.
So like you said, Conor McGregor is he's very loud. Yeah. He's a big advocate of if you can see it, you have the courage to speak it, it will happen.
Yeah.
Of course, for the work. Demetrius Johnson is someone that's like it's not really very outspoken, I don't think. It's quite quiet.
Yeah, he seems reserved. But yeah.
He's one of the guys that I feel like always perform on fight night.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if it's like he's just that good that even on his worst day, he's performing so well. Or he's really just, or he's able to get to that optimal state every single fight.
Yeah.
That's something I'm really curious and I really want to know about. So these two fighters I'm very, but if you talk about inspiration, I would say probably McGregor.
Yeah.
Since there's more access to him than anyone else.
Yeah, true.
So many videos on all his beliefs and everything.
Yeah. And have you ever had a chance to speak with Demetrius at all? Because I know he's in one championship, but I don't know whether
he... I haven't had a chance to meet him because he's seldom in Singapore. So, but one championship did a Q&A. So I asked him. I just asked a question there as well, which is basically what I asked you: are you that good that you are even on your worst day you still look the best, or you are able to reach that optimal state all the time? I think his answer is really, if I'm not wrong, his answer was like, for any sport he do, he only worry about the things that he can control.
He
was never focused on the opposition or anything. He was just focused on what he can do.
Yeah.
And being the best, going in with the best preparation and just whatever happens.
Yeah, that's true. And it's a good way to see it as well, because it's like controlling the controllables, obviously. And yeah, like with any athlete as well that I talk to, I'm always like, what can you control? Like, have a list of things that you can actually control and then try to manipulate that. Don't focus on, like, you can't change how your opponent is. You can't influence whether they get injured or not, or whether they're able to see opportunities, but you can control whether you're able to, like, train a certain amount, your nutrition, what you're thinking in your head before, how you prepare, etc. And speaking of preparation, do you have any certain, like, routines that you do before you're about to fight as well?
Routines? Take a shit more than usual. Routines? Not... Okay, I can't remember what really I did for MMA days, but usually, okay, MMA, when I was cutting weight, is probably like, you just fuel up nicely.
Yeah.
Have a good dinner with your coach, teammates, family sometimes.
Yeah.
And on the day itself, I usually do like a shakeout, which is like, kind of like a fight stimulation.
Okay.
Short one, maybe like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Just to, I feel better after I do it. And then in the evening, it's just warming up for the fight.
Okay.
So if you talk about actually routine, I don't have that's pretty much a routine. Just after the weigh-ins, recover, enjoy your night.
Yeah.
And next day is pretty much wake up, get some work in.
Yeah.
And then just wait for the fight. Nothing really that special, to be honest.
Okay. And so when you're doing like the shakeout, how does it, you said it was good, but then in what way does it, is it like a case where it helps you focus, is it a case where it helps with confidence, less nerves, like how does it help you?
It helps with the physical part most, actually.
Okay.
Like usually after the weigh-ins, you feel like a lot fucking heavy and everything.
Yeah.
Especially you sleep through the night, you dehydrate and everything. The next day, once you do that, you feel a lot lighter on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely helps you feel the flow. It's like as if it's already, you get in a way, and you get in the zone.
Yeah. Okay.
While doing that, you get in the zone.
Yeah. And you mentioned as well weigh-ins, so I kind of want to talk about the like psychology behind like kind of weigh-ins. Like obviously you have to cut a certain weight, and then some people can handle it more than others, and then some people have to make a drastic cut, some people don't. What have your experiences like with weigh-ins been like?
I personally don't cut that much weight. I cut like for water probably like 2.5 kilograms. That's about it.
Okay.
But that itself, it actually kills me in the sense of I can't breathe in the sauna, not really. So I hit the sauna. I usually go for a run.
Yeah.
I think that's the time where you speak to yourself the most.
Yeah.
When you put on like the sweatsuit, you go for a long jog.
Yeah.
You keep telling. That's probably one of the time where I keep reassuring myself that I'm the best and everything, you know?
Yeah. Because I would think that obviously doing all of that can be so stressful in obviously for your body and then in your head, because you're just trying to cut as much as you can within that limit as well. And, you know, kind of thinking to yourself, like, do you ever think or doubt yourself, like, why the fuck am I doing this right now? Or is it more of a case where you're like, yeah, this is what I need to do to kind of get to where I'm at?
The thought of why the fuck am I doing this definitely happens. So yeah. That's when you feel like you have to get it out as soon as possible.
Okay.
Like once the bad thought, you don't dwell on it. Once a bad thought comes, you try to kick it out and replace it with the good ones.
Okay.
Because if you dwell on it, it's literally just gonna grow and grow and grow. And you probably end up feeling fucking sorry for yourself or something like that.
Yeah. Have you ever had like a bad weight cut then? Oh.
That way, nah, not really.
Okay, alright, good. And so with kickboxing as well, do you have to do like the same kind of weight cuts, or are they like a bit different?
For kickboxing, because I do it quite often, I don't bother cutting weight, so
okay.
I just diet.
Yeah.
So I don't have to go to the sauna or anything. Pretty much diet to fight weight, and that's about it. Just by lowering the carbohydrates.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. And so from stories from you then, what have been like your career highs and what have been like some career lows that you've experienced?
Career highs will be the second pro fight.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean the first pro fight is like you're happy you won your pro fight.
Yeah.
But it's just alright. Second pro fight is really because I finally get to work with my coach properly.
Yeah.
And as like I said, it's one of the performances that I'm most happiest with.
Mm-hmm.
And considering the fact that you're a huge underdog, you know, coming 1-0 against someone that's like 9-2, so
yeah,
that's definitely highest. And yeah, I believe that's when I felt the best. After the fight, I went out to the stadium, took pictures and everything. It's just, it's a very good high, I would put it.
Good, nice.
Lows will be my last MMA fight,
mm-hmm.
where I lost by a decision.
Yeah.
So that, it's just, I feel like I definitely quit the beginning. I want to do it again, but like,
mm-hmm.
I did not, I haven't got a chance to write that wrong.
Okay.
So, and it's just it bothers me a little bit for quite a while actually that I lost to him.
Yeah.
But I guess, kind of make peace with it already, because like, yeah, I'm just gonna move on, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. And like, what impact did it have on you then? Did you like end up not training for a bit? Did you lose some motivation? Did you lose confidence? Or was there any impact that loss had on you?
I did not lose motivation, but I can let you know one thing for sure. That actually, since it's about mental, I had the least. Okay, I had the most killer intent going into that fight.
Yeah.
But half. Wait, most. I had some doubts going into that fight.
Yeah.
I let my doubts took over me, to be honest, for that fight.
Okay.
I mean, it's known for like some submission specialists or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when I went in, I tried to hype myself out like the best to like literally go and kill this guy.
Yeah.
And when the fight happens, I could have taken him down easily. I felt it. Like I had him on the cage, but I choose not to.
Yeah.
Because of might be psychological fear, like you said.
Yeah.
Where I'm afraid of what could happen on the ground. So I avoided the ground at all costs.
Oh,
like even when he took me down, I might be able to win off my back. I didn't even bother trying. I My first instinct was to get right back up.
Yeah, I see.
So I guess a lot of stress also, because it's especially as you build up 3-0 at the time before that loss happened. So it's the stress of losing that record.
Yeah.
And the stress of getting submitted in front of your own crowd.
Yeah.
That would be a stress. While it's happening, that kind of stress, I felt that kind of stress actually. Yeah.
Okay. And did you...
While the whole fight was happening.
Oh, so you were kind of like focused on, if this happens, I don't want to be like submitted in front of this home crowd.
It's one of the fights where I let my mind fuck me up.
I see. Yeah. And like, so did you ever have anyone come in to kind of target the mental side of the sport at all, or of performance?
Funny thing, this is that fight was the one fight that I worked with a mental coach.
Oh really?
Yeah.
What did you work on for that?
Visualization is one of them. The other one is he made me write like something about how I would what I'm gonna do on November 10 or 11 at the time. So basically every morning I write, I am going to probably wrote knock him out on November 11, something like that.
Oh, I see. Yeah, to kind of help you feel a bit more confident and like go with that.
Visualize yourself feeling that feeling as if you're already inside the cage.
Yeah.
So when you close your eyes, visualize and yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Because that's when it would be a bit more difficult for you, obviously, if you're in the clinch for that. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. But obviously the issue now was the fact that you're focusing on all these different things that weren't as much to do with how you're performing. Like, oh, I don't want to tap out in front of this crowd, or I'm 3-0 now, there's going to be pressure from here, or, you know, let me not be on the ground, let me stand up kind of thing. So that's where that started taking place.
Like I said, the belief, you know, when you, I'm pretty certain I could have beat him on the ground.
Yeah.
Like if even do just grappling.
Yeah.
But the fact that I let my mind beat me to it.
Yeah.
So that fight I messed up so much, man.
Yeah.
But as much as I hope it didn't happen, it's good that it happened. So now I know that losing isn't the biggest deal. I mean, like,
yeah,
I was sad, but nothing really changed. So I think the best you can do is really prepare better and not let all these things happen again.
Yeah. And so normally before fights, do you ever have like, obviously it's like these stories that build up of either like someone trash talking someone else or trying to like get some hype around the fight. Do you ever kind of experience that as well within your class at all, or your fights?
Not really trash talk. My first of all opponents we have been quite respectful. It's just maybe the last one.
Yeah.
The one that I lost.
Yeah.
I mean, I said something like mutant against a Saiyan or something, because his nickname is like the Wolverine.
Oh, okay.
So I think he took that wrongly, and he said I accused him of taking... Oh, I said, because Wolverine has like a regenerative powers or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So I think he took that as an insult of me calling him a steroid user.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it wasn't anything serious, you know, it's just a little bit of social media trash talk, fight stand up and we fought.
Yeah.
But after that, it was all good. It's no big deal.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And so, lastly, what would you kind of advise, like, younger or upcoming fighters? Like, what should they, like, start thinking about mentally? Like, do they need to start practicing, maybe reflecting? Do they need to think about self-talk, visualizing? Like, what would you suggest that they do as they're coming up?
Put themselves in bad situations. So that confidence gives you the mental confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So don't in the gym, don't think about winning or anything. It's really being in situations where you being in situations that build your physical confidence, not say physical confidence, being in situations, physical situations that will allow you to build your confidence, to give you a peace of your mind. Knowing, imagine, like I said, you go into a fight knowing I've done this a million times, I can do it, you know.
Yeah.
Rather than going into a fight, crap, I'm stuck in this position. What to do now? Can I do it?
Yeah.
By the time that happens, you're finished, you know.
Yeah.
You have to, you can do it. Mm-hmm. So, and that only happens through the physical and the mental really ties very closely, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, true. And do you have anything that you kind of want people to know of, to do with you, like anything you want to like make people more aware of? or anything you're doing that you want people to know of?
Honestly, my goal is just, I hope that my own journey can help inspire people. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to claim to be any expert or anything. Like I said, I'm still learning about this mental game, mm-hmm. physical game. I want to be able to get to the optimal, but yeah. I haven't figured that out. So
yeah.
I hope that my trial and error and through my journey, I'm able to inspire people to just try and be the best version of themselves, really, to be honest.